everybody to our podcast, and it's really a series of podcasts that we've been doing associated with our practice series over the course of this last year and a half, starting in the beginning of 2023. Our word for the year for Mill City Church was practice, really kind of being launched out of the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says that a wise follower of Jesus, a wise disciple, is one who hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice, in contrast to a foolish disciple who hears the words of Jesus but doesn't put them into practice. So we want to be wise followers of Jesus. We want to be apprentices to Jesus, becoming like him, which means that we do what he did. Jesus never asked his followers to do something that he didn't or wasn't doing. And so we have been taking time over the course of this last year and a half to dive into what are some of these practices that Jesus did and that Jesus encouraged his followers to do in order to put his teachings into practice. So we are just finishing up our practice fasting and feasting series. And so we have released with all of these practice series a blog post, which provides resources, books, videos, different things that help us dive into this practice in greater depth so that we can make it part of what it looks like for us to be followers of Jesus and ultimately be wise disciples. So I'm excited today for us to talk about fasting and feasting and to have this conversation with a dear friend of mine, Pastor Pradeepan Jiva. He and his wife Amritha are the pastors of Kalos Church in Seattle, Washington. And so excited for you to be here with us. So thank you, Pradeepan.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. Looked up to your leadership, this church, for so many years. And so I'm excited to talk about fasting today.
Yes, thank you. And maybe any women who are part of Sisterhood, yes, maybe remember Amritha from the Sisterhood conference. And so, yeah, thanks for being here. Let's jump in and let's talk about fasting. And I know that I'm excited. There's kind of a couple of stories we're going to try and start with. But you've done a significant fast and a significant fast, but I want to talk about one in particular, where you actually ended up fasting for 40 days, like water only for 40 days. That's right. And so maybe set up how that happened, like, mm-hmm, why did you do that, and what that process was like, as well as like, okay, what came out of that? So
I'd love to. You know, I did not start that fast because I'm this spiritual giant or I'm spiritually super strong. Honestly, it came during a time of great pain and weakness. And I needed something to practice. I needed something to take me out of my own mind and kind of get me into my body, a tool to approach God with. My wife and I got pregnant for the first time, and sadly, it ended in a miscarriage. And the doctors weren't sure if the baby had a heartbeat or not for a couple of months. So it was this time of insecurity and mystery. Didn't really know how to pray. Sadly, full miscarriage. And so it was a low time. I decided to just start fasting. What's going to happen? I need to not reject God completely, but I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to act. So I'm going to make my body my prayer life. Mm. You know, I'm going to make this physical. And so I just started fasting and praying, and it was hard. I was hangry. It was lonely, but I felt like I had some control. And
when you started, did you just say, I'm just going to start? Like, yes. How did you end up?
There's no plan. Okay. I was just so low. I said, this is a practice. And, you know, in times of uncertainty, I've learned to focus on what is certain. And I know I can go after the Lord. And I was kind of angry at the Lord. I was kind of mad at the Lord, but I needed him at the same time. So it was almost like a Stockholm syndrome with the Lord. I'm mad at you, but I need you. Yeah. So I'm going to approach you through fasting.
Before we keep going, you said something that I want you to take a moment. And you just said, I wanted to like practice with my body. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about that just a minute.
You know, so much of our prayer lives can be a cerebral experience. But I don't know. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I can get a little distracted in prayer. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes. Yeah, exactly. 5 minutes go by, and I'm like, surely it's been an hour. But when I'm fasting, it's like my hunger, my actions becomes unceasing prayer. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, I've done a 24-hour fast. That was my prayer life. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost deeper than these verbal words, and it becomes prayer and body language. And I think that's beautiful because, you know, a lot of people say most of communication is nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And so God, who knows our very being, who knit us together, if I could use my body to be a living sacrifice in a way to communicate to him, like, God, I may not have all the right words or the right thoughts, but like, here I am. I'm placing myself here to be with you. I'm replacing my thoughts about food. What am I going to cook? What am I going to eat? What am I going to prepare? What restaurant am I going to go? Okay, I've spent 40 hours on Yelp trying to find the best tacos. All of that activity becomes body talk and my body language before the Lord, saying, you know what? I don't have it all put together, but I'm going to pray unceasingly in fasting. So I just love that aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love it too, because it's like the physical matter so much, mm-hmm. specifically within Christianity, mm-hmm. that it isn't just a mental ascent. It's That's not right. just a metaphysical embrace of ideas, but it actually is, you know, love Lord your God with all your mind, mm-hmm. yes, but soul and body.
Yes.
You know, so it is engaging every aspect of who we mm-hmm. are in our life with God. Okay, yeah. Back to your
yes,
story.
Yes, amen. So low time, trying to get my body talk to the Lord, and I'm praying, and I'm with my body, with my words, with my life. And I mean, it's not like this spiritual mountaintop experience. It's like kind of a forced valley, but I was grieving. And so I felt like, okay, now I'm actually grieving. I'm going into the process. And if this is going to be tough, I might as well like tough it out with the Lord. And so, I mean, it was hard for my wife. You know, I was like a frail, low energy man, not cracking jokes, not laughing at jokes. We were still going on date nights every week, and she would get food, and I'd be like, hey, that looks delicious. Can I smell that frittata, please? Just let me smell it. So she's like, with this dying man, you know, I mean, sometimes at night she would wake me up and shake me just because I'd be so quiet and frail. She'd say, hey, are you alive? What are you doing? But I would just go through this process, and I didn't have this plan to go into 40, but I just, you know, I felt unresolved, and then I kept on going. But there was a moment I felt like the Lord spoke to me, though. I felt like the Lord said, hey, I know you're struggling to have this physical family. Would you consider starting a spiritual family? Start a beautiful church in a beautiful place. And that's actually when Amrita and I decided, we feel like the Lord is calling us to plant a church, specifically a beautiful church. And so the church that we lead today is actually called Kalos Church, which means beautiful in poorly pronounced Greek. And so it's actually kind of crazy. And we live in a city called Bellevue, which means beautiful view. And so literally out of that death moment, trusting the Lord, it became an intimate moment that birth life, specifically in the form of a church plant. And we're literally sitting in that fruit, a beautiful church in a beautiful place right now. And so I'm not guaranteeing like after you fast, like, you know, all your dreams are going to come true or you're going to get complete clarity. But I'm telling you what, when you seek the Lord, he does answer, and you do find him, and he does speak to you, and you don't have all the distractions of food, and you switch energy sources from like food to the Lord, and there's a clarity that comes there.
Yeah. So, which is such a beautiful story. And you were in Michigan at the time when you sensed that direction from the Lord. And now you're living into the reality of what God spoke to you all during that time, which is just incredible.
Amen.
Now, certainly there's going to be people that are going to say 40 days, like that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Or 3 days is dangerous or whatever. Can you speak to that? And did you, I've done longer fasts, you lose weight, you know, it becomes obvious. Like, are you okay?
Yes. No, I lost 32 pounds.
Wow.
My body was detoxing. I don't know how graphic we want to get on this podcast, but in the 30s, I was still going to the bathroom and not just peeing. Mm-hmm. And so my body was eliminating stuff. And, you know, I was a youth and young adults pastor. And so people would pull my wife, Amrita, to the side. Hey, your husband's too frail. that's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. That's demonic. That's not good. Wow. That's like, he just needs to get over this grief or this pain. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, Jesus could only do that because he was God. Mm-hmm. Like, humans don't need to do that, you know? And so anyways, there's a lot of warning in the American church specifically. I've noticed that we often defend gluttony, mm-hmm. but caution against fasting, or we choose all the forms of fasting that, you know, maybe the biblical authors wouldn't have understood.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm fasting TikTok. I'm fasting Netflix. God forbid, Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's what Jesus was doing in the desert, fasting mm-hmm. from TikTok. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a scholar, but I don't think he was doing that. So, outside of, like, even just, like, the Bible and spiritual mm-hmm. fasting is a huge movement in mm-hmm. the world right now. Mm-hmm. Whether it's your CrossFitters or your wellness gurus or even bodybuilders, people are fasting. And so I think the body is totally capable of fasting, because, mm-hmm. you know, the whole idea of ketosis is when your body switches energy source. You go from burning sugar for energy to directly burning fat. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not trying to get canceled here, but, you know, obesity and our calorie surplus in America specifically mm-hmm. is on the rise. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going a day without food, I don't think we're going to deplete all of the fat resources the average American has. And so, like, when an animal gets sick, what do? They stop eating. Their body can focus on digestion, on healing itself. Mm-hmm. And so obviously consult a therapist if you have food issues, mm-hmm. right? Eating issues. Consult a doctor if you're worried about certain issues. But I think the average person is yeah. totally capable of fasting without hurting themselves. In fact, I think it'll contribute in healing themselves. Like, look at the research on inflammation, Alzheimer's and dementia prevention. Look at what it does for blood circulation and mm-hmm. all the detoxing of fasting. And we're all fasting throughout the night. Like, if you sleep 8 hours and you have a first meal in the morning, what is that called?
Yeah, right.
It's called break fast. Mm-hmm. Because you're fasting through the night and you have bad breath and your body's eliminating bad things. So I think we're designed to fast as humans, and yeah. we need to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it certainly pushes against our it's not the only reason we fast.
Yeah.
There's lots of reasons throughout scripture, and we've covered some of those in this series, but it really speaks to how I find, especially if I'm resistant,
yes.
that, you know, I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I actually have to check myself to think,
right.
why am I so resistant to this,
yeah.
you know, to maybe even fast for a day. And when we talk about fasting, I think it's worth clarifying, you know, we're talking about going without food,
yes.
you know, like to be able to spend a day or two or three or even a, you know, a till a dinner, you know, or like
yes.
skip some meals. And
you don't have to start with 40 days.
Yeah, exactly. But my resistance to it, like, nah, I can't or whatever, actually can sometimes be an indicator of either an addiction.
Yeah.
Which is on the more extreme side, or just an element of slavery to my appetites. And so when I find myself overly resistant, I think it may actually be the best indicator that I need to fast.
Yes.
To say, I am not a slave to my appetites. Even the ones that are natural. I mean, we're made to want to eat.
Yes.
But to say, I want to be connected to and dependent upon the Lord as my source.
Yes.
That Jesus is the bread of life. He is my living water. And yes, I need food and I'm so grateful for it, but I don't want to be a slave to my appetites.
That's right. That's right.
Now, the vast majority of people are not going to do a 40-day fast.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some wisdom in all of that in terms yeah. of, like you mentioned, potentially seeing a therapist, potentially seeing a doctor. Obviously, if you're pregnant or have like different types of medical issues, mm-hmm. it may not be wise nor or good. But there's other ways to engage fasting in a
yes.
healthy way. But like you said, for the average person. But even so, the average person is probably not going to do a 40-day fast or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about like fasting as a lifestyle. Can you talk a little bit about what that might look like for you or how you've engaged that over the years?
Yeah. Yeah, 11 in Matthew, Jesus says some of these demons only come out through prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that makes me want a weekly fast. Mm-hmm. Because I'm encountering all sorts of spiritual attacks, regular life stresses. And so I just always want every tool at my arsenal. I want it ready to go. And so I try to fast at least once a week. You know, as a family, we'll do fasting. And, I have little kids, so I'm not forcing them to do, like, crazy, full day fasts or week fasts or anything like that. But we'll do a meal here and there. And so I just have that regularly. And then, when I start the year, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting, and then we also do that every August as a church community. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good communal reset, yeah. And so weekly for me, and then I will also, this isn't super spiritual, but when I'm feeling kind of sick or I just, like it's Thanksgiving or something and I've kind of gone all out, I'll sometimes do like a 3-day fast to just reset my immune system. Mm. And I actually... this makes me, even my wife wouldn't like this about me, but I kind of like fasting. Mm. I feel like I have mental clarity as well as a spiritual connection with mm-hmm. God that, elevates my spirit a little bit as I use my body. And so I actually like it. I like that detox. I like mm-hmm. that energy. Obviously, like the first day you're kind of hangry, you're in a fog, but once you break through that, get your
caffeine headache.
Yeah, exactly. Once you break through that. So those are some things I do to make it a lifestyle. But, I talked to this missionary once and he said, whenever my wife is going on a trip and I'm alone, he fasts because he noticed that his lust goes down when he's fasting. And so, I will fast for times I'm feeling temptations or I feel like I'm in my flesh or I'm just like, not where I want to be, maybe an extra angry or jealous or greedy or feeling temptations of lust. In those moments, I'll just kind of say, I need to go on a fast because like what you were saying earlier, I feel like the desires of my heart and my life switch around. Mm. And so I'm not like feeding the flesh. I'm not saying food is evil or bad or the flesh. I think food is to be enjoyed. But there are sometimes I'm a little bit more tempted by my flesh. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, hey, I need to pick up my cross right now. I need to deny myself a little bit here. I'll go on a fast as a part of my lifestyle to just make sure I'm like staying on the straight and narrow. And it helps decrease temptations for me.
So good. I think of the fact that the scripture says that we fight against the devil, which we maybe is like, it's the easy one, but it's not the only element of that we fight against. But we fight against our flesh. Mm-hmm. We see the Apostle Paul talk about like, I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do. And this like internal desire coming from this sinful nature. And then there's the world, the things around us that have been sin built into the systems of the world. And so if we think about it in that way, then what you're describing is this is one of my weapons to fight against the flesh that would take me into and embrace the way of the enemy.
Yeah.
And so I think when I put it in a wider and bigger perspective like that, it helps to make sense as opposed to like, well, I'm just going to do something that's makes me feel hangry.
Yeah, exactly.
That there is a spiritual reality to it. And to me, it's like, there's so many things in following Jesus. We have communion, we embrace the death of Jesus on the cross, but we have this physical practice where we eat bread and drink juice or wine as a reminder, as a physical, tangible way of embracing that. We water baptism. We are dunked into water, immersed in water as a way of indicating in a very physical way the ways that we have died and gone and been buried with Jesus and come out alive. And so fasting is in some ways somewhat similar, kind of like we were talking about earlier about like utilizing our body is like this physical practice of and tangible way of saying, Jesus, you're my source. Mm-hmm. And I deny myself, like not just mentally deny myself, but like literally deny my physical body. And so I just love the ways that it causes us to live into the reality of it, not just in an idea way. Mm-hmm. So can you talk just a little bit here with our last several minutes? I sometimes, and I have found over the years, like sometimes I'm like my body's yelling at me, you know, my stomach is yelling. I have a hard time hearing from the Lord. Or can you talk a little bit, like on one hand, there's not eating and drinking water. But what do you do as not just what you're not doing, mm-hmm. but what do you do, you know, in terms of spending time with the Lord or how to listen to his first voice? Or can you talk a little bit about
that?
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it's like a day or something like that.
Yeah, you know, especially with the health craze of fasting, intermittent fasting, OMAD, one meal a day. You know, I've seen a lot of people, including myself, maybe using fasting to get in shape, or you're using fasting just for the health benefits or the mental clarity, or even to lose weight. I've seen people do that. But, you know, Jesus said, hey, when you fast, like, do it in private. Mm-hmm. Don't do it to impress people. And so I found myself, if I'm fasting to, like, just impress people, look good, or, you know, do some of these external things, I'm missing something, because Jesus promises when you fast in private, when you're taking care of yourself, washing your face, he says he will reward you. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's the greatest promise of fasting. It's not that, you know, some demons will be cast out. It's not that your body will go through an immunity reset. It's that the God of the universe, the one who created us, will personally reward us. And I believe that the Lord himself is the reward. It's his presence.
Yeah.
And so when I'm fasting, I got to make sure I'm not starving, you know, but I'm tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, that I get to enjoy his presence. And in fasting, I kind of create like a thin place where I'm not sure if I'm on heaven or in earth or like, where am I? And so I try to make sure I'm, you know, going back to the basics, I'm feasting on the word of God. Like I'm reading scriptures, I'm listening to scriptures, I'm praying with other people. I'm not just talking about, you know, oh, when I'm done fasting, this is what I'm gonna be honest. I'm a big portion of my 40-day fast, I was just looking up burger recipes. I was like, this is the perfect meat, this is the perfect bun. I read books on, like, you know, the founder of Shake Shack. I read his whole book and how he created that, like all this kind of stuff. But I was like, oh, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm using fasting, but I'm still in the flesh. I'm like just fantasizing about food right now. Like what I need to do is feast on the Lord and enjoy the presence of the Lord through scripture, through worship, through prayer, through praying in the spirit, like just enjoying that time, because you are low energy, you are frail. So sometimes you're just trying to survive, but it's important to like make sure you're reading, you're entering into the presence of the Lord and enjoying him as the reward. And so make sure that's part of your program if you're going to go on a fast.
Yeah, I love that. And it's such a, you know, you use the word feast, and we feast on the Lord, which for this series, you know, we called it practice fasting and feasting. And there's kind of a double meaning in that, and one being that while we're not eating food, we are being nourished by and feasting on Jesus. But I also think of when you break a fast, I almost think of whether it's just not eating for a day and you eat a meal that night because you're so hungry. It always feels like a feast.
Glorious.
Glorious.
Yes.
And whether it's one day or a few days or a week or 40, it feels, I mean, the flavors and the smells and the taste and the, I mean, the satisfaction and the gratitude that comes out of that. It, and that, even that in a physical way reminds me of like, oh God, you're so good.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, like the way that you sustain my body and the things that you provide for us. And so I just love that tension.
Yes. So Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
So I finally break the 40-day fast, right? My wife is so relieved. And we got this ticket to a dinner and a movie kind of show. And so it's family style. we're sitting around a table. My wife and I are on a date, and we're with all these strangers, and it's like a Italian 9-course meal. I'm so excited. But when you break a 40-day fast, how you break it is really important, because you can die. Mm-hmm. If you just eat meats and heavy food right away, your digestion can't handle it, so you just die. But I'm really excited to eat.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I got to prepare for this. So day one, I'm just drinking water. Day two, water. Day, you know, three, four, it's like carrot juice. And then, I dive into watermelon. Each one is just fantastic. I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. You created watermelon. Mm-hmm. You have a whole dopamine reset. Like, you enjoy the simple things and living simple. You're just grateful for everything. But then we're at this dinner. I didn't have a lot of weight to lose. I'm not like a huge guy. And so I had lost 32 pounds. So I'm this skinny, frail man with my wife at the table. And they bring me Italian wedding soup. And there's just these little gelatinous pieces in it, like bread. I'm so excited because I've just been doing juice. Mm-hmm. And so I go to take my first sip with some vegetables and some solid food. And I eat it. And I'm in heaven. But then my wife starts yelling at me because she's afraid I'm going to die. She says, what are you doing? Just drink the broth. And so here I am, this frail, skinny man, and my wife is yelling at me in front of these strangers. And so they're wondering, why won't she let that skinny man eat? Let the man eat some soup. I mean, I'm just eating one little piece of celery, which I think burns more calories than it gives you. And she's like so concerned. And people are like, let the man eat.
Yeah.
But they didn't know. She was trying to protect my life.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, what a great way to end our conversation here. Pradeep, and thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Time and sharing your story. And I hope... A couple of things I just want to highlight. One, obviously we can.
Yes.
You know, Jesus says we should. So it's part of our practice of following Jesus. But I also just love the ways that you communicate the way you're submitted to the Lord. Like, here I go, and I'm just going to let the Lord determine the direction of this, especially if it's going to be longer, but also then just the consistency at which you've lived this out and the impact that it's had on your life over the years. So thanks for sharing that story and encouraging and inspiring us in that way. I wonder if you'd just end by taking a moment and pray, and just praying for everybody who's listening to this, and maybe somebody who might be wanting to but struggling with, or thinking, I can't do it, or whatever. So maybe we just take a moment and pray as we finish.
Yes. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the possibility to be in your presence. Thank you so much for giving us tools where, when we're stuck in our mind, stuck in confusion, you've given us some physical things to grab onto. And so, Lord, I pray with this tool of fasting, Lord, you would help us receive the reward of your presence. You would help us to be delivered from demonic strongholds and anything that would attack us. And for those of us who are afraid of fasting or worried or concerned, Lord, I pray that you give us the wisdom to move forward, that we would taste and see that you are good, that we would grab hold of every promise that you have given us, Lord. And so I pray that you would help us to walk in freedom and breakthrough. I pray that you would help us to have confidence and wisdom as we move forward in fasting. And so for the person who's seeking you, Lord, I pray that they would have confidence that you will answer yourself. For those of us who are looking for breakthrough and deliverance, Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength to trust that you want us to be free even more than we want to be free. Lord, that you have a good will, you have a good plan for your children. So, Lord, I pray that you would equip us even more with the tools to enter into seasons of prayer and fasting, and not just denying ourselves, but also feasting on the goodness that you've promised us. So, Lord, have your will be done in our bodies, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.